Good morning. So my name is Saria Lofton. I attend Rush University. I am a doctoral candidate there, and this is part of my dissertation work. My literature review was culturally adapted obesity prevention interventions and using this PIN3 model to guide that. So we've discussed that obesity rates have stabilized over the last few years. The one thing that we were still concerned about is that even with African American youth, even though the trends are decreasing, they're still elevated in comparison to other ethnicities. And especially with 12 to 19 year olds, the decreasing trends were not significant with that particular age group. So these disparities continue to exist despite the prevalence of obesity prevention interventions, and there have been a ton of obesity prevention interventions that have targeted African American youth in the last few years. So that led me to examine culturally adapted interventions, and they're basically just strategies and content tailored to the beliefs and values of a cultural group, accomplished in partnerships with representatives of the target population. You'll hear it referred to as culturally sensitive, tailored, targeted, culturally appropriate. So some of the questions that researchers seek to answer, knowing what they are, how do you develop or evaluate them, how effective are they, and what specific strategies work. So the purpose of this particular study was to illustrate the use of the PIN3 model, illustrate BMI outcomes for those culturally adapted obesity interventions, and describe the strategies incorporated into those interventions. So this is the PIN3 model. It's a cultural framework that can be used to develop, implement, and evaluate health promotion. So you have cultural identity, relationship expectations, cultural empowerment. So when they start an intervention for entry, they look at person, will start at the person, the extended family, neighborhood, and then you get into relationship expectations in terms of how the person or extended family, neighborhood perceives, where the enablers there, the structural entities that exist, and nurtures people, again, like peers, family members that may enable, that may pose as barriers or may promote health promotion. And then there's positive existential and negative behaviors that fall within the cultural empowerment domain. So this explains that a little bit more. And, again, with cultural empowerment, it's like what sustains it, how behaviors can be addressed within the intervention. So for this study, this review used the PICO, the target population, African-American youth, 6 to 18 years old. These were identified as culturally adapted interventions. And then the comparative group was, there had to be a comparative group that did not have a culturally adapted intervention. And then the outcomes, the main variable was BMI. So looked at 8 online databases and using the keywords as described. So overall, there were 4,000 articles. But when it was broken down after all of that, 11 articles were in the final analysis, and 2 were retrieved from another source. From the reviews of other articles that existed. So 6 to 18 years old, over 50% black, multi-component, culturally adapted obesity prevention interventions. In the last 10 years, BMI percentage, BMI Z-scores, RCTs or non-RCT trials. That was the inclusion. Exclusions were those that did not include outcome data for African Americans and did not report a cultural perspective. And single component where they were only looking at maybe just diet instead of looking at diet, exercise, behavior. So the PIN3 model was used to first determine the target group, where we would target individual, extended family, or neighborhood, and then evaluate the design and implementation, and then identify and describe target behaviors from the cultural empowerment model. So some examples of some things were like obesity interventions targeting parents, grandparents, as well as youth for extended family, or use of culturally appropriate terms for enablers, or African-American mentors or interventionists for nurturers. So those are some of the things, even considering spirituality or alternative interventions for existential. So overall, the sample with the 11 studies, 1,500 participants, 10 of the studies had BMI eligibility specified. Maybe like over, they had to be over 85th percentile or 90th percentile. Girls only was, that was 8 studies. Boys and girls only 3 studies. So low-income communities, 9. And most of the studies were at least 12 weeks to 2 years. And then outcomes varied. So in terms of the results, cultural identity targeted black youth generally. Directly included family members. There were 6 studies. Marginally included families, about 5. And this ties a lot into the nurturers section as well, of the relationship expectation, because oftentimes when the extended family was involved, they were also included as nurturers. And then none of the interventions targeted community, but through formative assessment they did. And then fully incorporating beliefs and perceptions of the youth, about half of those studies. And in terms of engaging various structural and societal enablers, most of the studies did that. Including culturally appropriate activities and foods, 7 out of 11. And then some of the studies did use negative barriers to adapt their interventions. So when looking at cultural identity, there were some things that did come out, and I just included some pictures of things that represented that. So empowering individuals. This is a young man that spoke in Chicago about school clothing. So I found him as like one of those empowering individuals. Family-based interventions, community input. I believe this is the African Festival of the Arts and in Chicago. So that would be an example of something that brought the community together. Relationship expectations, you've discussed their perceptions around health, structural entities that enabled participation, interventionists that reflected the targeted culture. And this one was really significant. I know talking about African American teachers, the decline of black male teachers has been something that's been an issue, and that's something that kind of ties into this part of the model. Cultural empowerment. Positive, accentuating the positive aspects of black youth culture, existential, the existence of black culture in the intervention. This is the DeSapa Museum in Chicago. A lot of people don't know about it, and these are structures that exist that can be utilized to help develop these type of interventions. And then taking negative behaviors and addressing it in action. This is Ferguson. So how youth would take that particular incident and try to change it into something that could be action, that could be positive. So again, the results for each domain in those concepts were placed in a table. These are verified with another researcher for each of the studies. And in terms of those that were mostly implemented with at least 8 of the 9 concepts, were the GEMS studies, GEMS Stanford and GEMS Memphis. In terms of those studies that included at least 5 out of the 9 concepts, was there the Minnesota GEMS study. There was a GRACE study. It was done about a diabetes intervention using a specific model, and they compared it to not using that model. And Go Girls. And then in where there were less than half of those concepts were implemented or partially implemented, GEMS Baylor, Taking Action Together, and then a computer intervention and challenge. So in terms of BMI results, this was a little bit difficult because it was hard to say, well, this one worked versus this one when there was so much variability. But in terms of those interventions that matched greatest to the concepts, some things that were noted was that in the pilot studies, the BMI did trend down, but in trial, the 2-year study, it would go up or not, it wasn't affected at all. In the Memphis, they did find a difference in BMI was greatest in youngest participants versus older, and a slight effect on sweetened beverages, water, and vegetable intake. So those that matched half concepts, Go girls found a decrease in BMI with high attenders versus low attenders. And then in the least match, there was no change or increase except for challenge, where those, they had a percentage of those that were obese, overweight, go from 45 to 39% in delayed and follow-up. But in terms of those that actually, it wasn't significant in terms of actual BMI change. So the cultural adaptations were inconsistently applied, which made it difficult to really ascertain if BMI was affected. And there was only one study that reported the consideration of African-American condition in the conceptualization and development of intervention. And I thought that was really interesting when looking at culturally adapted models or interventions altogether, how much that was in the design of those actual models, those actual interventions. So potential successful strategies using a mentor. In two of the studies, the challenge study and the Jim Stanford study, they used African-American mentors that would go into the home doing one-on-one work with the parents and the children. Cultural-based historical reference in the intervention, that was the Jim Stanford as well, lessons in the home. And Jim Stanford made an effort not to necessarily direct those lessons towards obesity prevention. It was, there were general things that were discussed in terms of like African-American culture or things that were going on at the time with the child. So obesity prevention was the goal, but it wasn't how it was presented to the youth. And goal setting was something that the challenge used to help motivate them moving forward. And those mentors actually committed to the goals with the youth. Common strategies were youth-driven activities, hula hoop, dance, formative assessment, use of African-American interventionists. That wasn't as common, but I did find it in enough articles where it was used. Incorporating family into design, culturally appropriate materials, and culturally relevant foods. So what I concluded was that behavioral and dietary outcomes should be considered in exploring efficacy of culturally adapted interventions, not just BMI. And a need for more randomized controlled trial of culturally adapted interventions, and explore and define the layers of what cultural adaptations are and how they exist. Because using the model was a great way to start to organize it, but there needs, the layers still need to be more clearly defined to make sure that we're looking at it, examining it in an appropriate way. And that is it. Any questions?
How was the family component utilized?
So in some of the studies, they would do like a three-arm parallel study where they had a family component where they would have the families actually doing the intervention right along with the youth. And then there was like a comparison group where it was just very standard. And then in some, they would do it, they would have the family and the youth doing it together, or just parent meetings, or so there were just various ways they really tried to engage the family. Yes.
Thank you for your wonderful presentation. You told us that five of the interventions really used family component very well, and the other six just marginally.
Right.
Have you happened to look at the differences between those two groups of interventions in terms of the outcome differences?
I think that would be a great study, because that was something, there were differences in other areas in those studies as well. So, but that would be great. I would like to look further into that.
Yeah, I think that's very important, because when it comes to African-American society, I think family component is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And also maybe, you could do some meta-analysis to examine the differential effects, for different components on the African-American.
That's a great idea. Yes.
I'm curious about PEN3.
Yes.
This is my first time hearing about it. Tell us a little bit about it and why you chose it for an organizing framework.
I chose the PEN3 model. I do not want to mess up his name. That's why I did not say it. Arhi Himbua, he created this model. He's at Penn State. And it was based in Africa. And that's when he first initially started it. And then he started using it with African Americans. So it's been used like with diabetes prevention. It's been used cancer. And it's actually been used not just with African Americans. It's been used with, I think it was Chinese immigrants that he did a study with. And so that another researcher did a study with. So it's a model that really looks at culture as framing an intervention. It's almost a design intervention, but they have not really used it to, it can be used to evaluate, but I haven't found a lot of studies that actually did use it to evaluate. So this was a venture into using it to evaluate as a review. Hope that answered the question. There was actually an article that came out last year that gave a great overview of it, and actually he was second author. It's in here. Let me go to it. You can. Moore, Newsom, and this one actually came out this year. Framing the Impact of Culture. That review gives a really good overview of it.
The second one.
Yes.
Just in the adaptation of the pandering model, I noticed the part about negative behaviors
Well, one of the best example of that was the Memphis study, gym study. They actually looked at negative perceptions from the parents and the during a formative assessment that they did for the design, and they actually grouped those. And then they put it into a chart in their review, in their article. And they looked at interventions to design, they looked at particular activities that address those negative ideas, perceptions, behaviors in that they addressed in the intervention. So that was one example of how they kind of used it. They were probably that was the most clear way that I saw the negative behaviors were used for activities. Okay.
Thank you.